Hello. You are listening to the Grieving Parents Sharing Hope podcast. We are here to walk with parents on their unwanted journey of child loss, guiding them to a place of hope, light, and purpose, not in spite of their child's death, but as a way to honor his or her life. And now, here is your host, author, speaker, and bereaved parent, Laura Deal.
Hello, thank you for joining me today. I want to talk about something every one of us faces on this journey, and that is hitting the milestones after the death of our child. Now, as I'm talking about milestones, I want to be clear what I mean by that. These are not celebrations or achievements. These are moments that mark our grief, the days and the experiences we have to face without our child here. Now, some of these, we see them coming, like birthdays and holidays, and others come out of nowhere and they take our breath away. And the reason I still call them milestones is because over time, they are things we get through. We don't get over them, but we do grow through them. And little by little, they become markers of how we are learning to live again as bereavers in a world that has changed forever. There are so many of them, aren't there? Some of them, like I said, we expect, like birthdays, holidays, and the anniversary date. And some of these completely catch us off guard, like walking into a grocery store and seeing a food that we used to buy for them, hearing a song, or realizing the phone will never ring with their name again. These milestones can throw us for a loop. And if you've ever felt like one hit you out of nowhere and took your breath away, you are not alone. I want to share some of my thoughts and experiences on this today, because sometimes hearing how someone else has walked through this can help us feel just a little less alone. One of the first things many of us experience is how deeply everything changes. It's not just that our child is gone, it's that our entire life shifts. We cook differently, we shop differently, we move through our days differently, and somewhere along the way, we realize, I don't even know who I am anymore. That in itself can become a milestone, learning to live in a world that feels completely unfamiliar, even though everything around us looks the same. Now, an early milestone for parents is what I would call the closing in feeling. You may have felt this. You probably have felt this. Walking into a store or being around people, it just feels overwhelming. Almost like the walls are closing in, like you can't breathe and you just need to get back home where it feels safe. And if that's you, please hear this. There is nothing wrong with you. I used to ask myself all the time, what is wrong with me? And that's not it. Grief changes how we experience the world. I mean, it changes us physically, emotionally, but literally physically. There are chemical changes in our brain and in our bodies. Grief changes how we experience the world, especially the early months, even the first couple of years. Sometimes just taking a small step, like being around people in a simple, low-pressure way, just a small group of people, or maybe a restaurant where hardly anybody is in, where it's quiet atmosphere, can gently help you re-enter the world again. Not forcing it, just taking one small step at a time. Another milestone many of us face is something we don't always talk about openly, and that is the deep longing to not be here anymore. As a matter of fact, I wouldn't say many of us faced, I would say most of us face that. We want to be with our child. Waking up and feeling disappointed that we're still here. We tell ourselves that no one would really miss us that much if we were gone, which I'll just say is a lie. And if you've had those thoughts, you are not alone in that either. God showed Dave how it's kind of like Jesus leaving to go find the one. We want to leave and go find that one who isn't here with us anymore. But there often comes a moment, a turning point, where something stops us. For some, it's another child. I'll tell you one thing that happened to me. Some of you have heard me say this before. My other daughter came to me one day and told me that she believed that I thought the wrong daughter had died. That just stabbed my heart. There could be nothing further from the truth. And I tried to tell her it would not have mattered which of my children had died. I would still be a mess like this. But that was the message she received. And so for some of us, it may be another child. It may be something like that that jolts us, or maybe it's just the fact that we have to take care of that child and we have to be there for that child so that they don't feel like they don't matter anymore, that the child that's not here anymore matters more. For some of us, maybe it's a parent that we have to take care of. For some of us, it's the realization that we just can't bring that same pain onto someone else. For me, another pivotal time was standing in a cemetery, and I used to wander around the cemetery where Becca's buried and just read and look at the tombstones. And I knew there were children there, there were young adults there that had been buried. And At one point, I just stood there and I looked out at all these tombstones, and I just had the thought, all of these are people that someone loved dearly, and I knew some of these were children. And I just thought, if those other people can make it through, somehow I can make it through. So you may have a pivotal thought like that that just helps you turn the corner just a little bit. And slowly, even if we don't want to at first, we begin to realize there really are reasons we want to stay. And that too is a milestone. That's a huge milestone. There are emotional milestones, things we never expected to feel, like jealousy, seeing our friends post pictures of their child's first day of school, watching others enjoy their grandchildren, and we know we won't have those grandchildren, or seeing others just moving forward with their lives in different ways that we don't get to experience with our child now, and realizing that that part of our future is gone now. Maybe it's facing the reality of having no one to pass things on to, no continuation of your child's life through generations. These are very real and deep losses within the loss of our child, and they take time to process. I want to acknowledge those things. I know they're hard to talk about. And a really important milestone is learning that we cannot do this alone to get past and get, I don't know, we really never get past it, but we learn how to get through it. So many of us isolate ourselves because we feel like no one understands. And in many ways, that's true. People who have not lost a child simply cannot fully understand this kind of grief, which is why connecting with other grieving parents, other bereaved parents, can be so incredibly powerful. There's something about being with someone who gets it without needing explanations, without needing to fix anything, just someone who can sit in it with you. I know one thing that amazes me is how many of us hear someone else's story and think, I can't imagine losing my child that way. Now, I don't know how you felt when you lost your child, but I know the suffocating darkness I felt when I lost mine. And there's something about that that just brings an instant connection and bonding. And if you are able, even in a small way, I encourage you to find that kind of connection. Let's talk about some of the more obvious and quite often some of the hardest milestones. The first birthday, going through all these first holidays, and then the first anniversary. Those can feel unbearable. But something many bereavers discover over time is this. Sometimes the anticipation of the day is just as hard or even harder than the day itself. We build it up, we dread it, we try to brace ourselves, and then the day comes and we get through it. Somehow we get through it, not because it's easy, but because somehow We do. And that becomes another milestone. Realizing I made it through something I did not think I could survive. I did not think I could make it through that day. Holidays bring their own challenges. You may feel like you don't want to celebrate anything anymore. And honestly, in the beginning, that is totally understandable. Now, let me just say, over time, and I don't mean over time in a way that it's like we forget about our child, forget they even existed, life, you know, we're going on la-di-da and life is good again. Not that kind of time. But over time, that does bring little measures of healing. Many parents find that doing something, even something small, can help. Because to me, it's not time that helps, it's what we do with our time and in that time. It's not because everything is okay, because love is still there. I had one mom sit in my living room and tell me that she was going to get rid of all of her Christmas decorations because she did not think she would ever want to celebrate Christmas again after the death of her daughter. Now, she has not gotten to the place where she goes all out like she used to, and she did end up getting rid of a lot. But several years later, she does put up a tree. She does some decorating, including some new things she has picked up. That was a milestone for her. I know of one mom who put up her tree, her Christmas tree, but she broke down when she saw the ornaments and she just couldn't do it. And the next year, a couple of her friends came over and put the tree up and they decorated for her while she watched. That was a milestone. For some parents, they may want to do something like at Christmas time, add a special ornament each year, or during a special holiday or a meaningful time, buy a meaningful item in memory of their child every year, leaving an empty chair at the table as a reminder so that everyone remembers there is someone here missing, and it just acknowledges that we wish they were here and we miss them, or do something their child loved with the people around them. Maybe go watch a movie that they loved, or go see a sports team that they love. Go watch them together. These things are not done as a way to move on, but as a way to carry your child with you. Mother's Day, we just passed that. Father's Day is coming up. These can be some of the hardest milestones of all to get past and to get to the point where you're not crying all day long. Or I know we just had some things out there for Mother's Day, and so many of you said, I never want to celebrate Mother's Day again. And, you know, those kinds of things. Dave says that the first Father's Day, you know, in that first year, all the holidays and things going through, that first Father's Day was the worst day for him because Becca was the one who made him a dad, and it hit him really hard. Because no matter what, you are still a parent. And it's okay to acknowledge that. It's okay to take care of yourself on those holidays. That first year on Father's Day, Dave took his saxophone out to the cemetery and he played some meaningful songs while he cried. It's okay to step away. It's okay to cry. It's okay to rest, to do something meaningful just for you. You're still a mom. You're still a dad. That does not change. Another milestone many of us encounter is realizing that friendships change. People don't always know what to say, so they say nothing or they disappear. And it's usually not because they don't care, but because our grief makes them uncomfortable. And I know that sounds so unfair because it's like, okay, but I'm the one that has to live this grief, right? You just have to be around me every once in a while. So these friends that we lose, that can feel like another loss on top of everything else. Sometimes we need to gently let people know, you don't have to fix this. You can't fix this. You don't have to say the right thing. I just need you to be here. You don't have to figure out what the right thing is to say. I just need you to be here with me. Many of us are surprised at who is not there for us, and we're just as surprised at someone who is there for us, usually someone totally unexpected. The shift in friends, I think, is one of the things that surprises bereavers the most. And then there's this truth. There is no straight line in grief. There are no five stages of grief. I know there are counselors that are still trying to counsel people through the five stages of grief. Now, that was something a woman named Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, she wrote a book, and she talked about the five stages of grief, but she was not referring to us grieving someone who has died. She was writing about and referring to someone who is terminally ill. And these are the five stages of grief they go through. And if you think about it, that makes a lot of sense. It doesn't make any sense to tell us that we have to go through, that we're going through five stages of grief. It is so much more like a messed up, tangled ball of yarn or some roller coaster that's up and down and circles around and in the dark, right? You may have a year where you are feeling like you're finally doing better. And then suddenly a wave hits that feels just as strong as the early days. That does not mean you're going backward. It means you're still grieving. It means your heart is still full of love and it hurts. And sometimes those harder seasons are really where the deeper healing happens, even when it doesn't feel like it. One of the most meaningful milestones for bereavers is when they begin to find purpose again. Not replacing their child, not moving on, but finding a way to carry their child's love forward. For some, that's helping other grieving parents, other bereavers. For others, it's creating something in their child's memory or starting a scholarship or some sort of foundation. For others, it's simply learning to live again, one day at a time. There is no right way, but there is often a moment when something begins to shift, and that matters. For some parents, it happens what seems like maybe right away. For others, it can take years for that shift of finding meaning and purpose again. Don't pressure yourself. I tell bereavers to follow the breadcrumbs. Just keep going one day, 1 minute at a time, and allow things to develop naturally. At some point, you will realize a desire you have will give you purpose again when you start moving in that direction, just one little step at a time. I want to wrap this part up by repeating something I said at the beginning. Milestones are the things we get through. We don't get over them, but we do grow through them. And little by little, they become markers of how we are learning to live again as bereavers in a world that has changed forever. My friend, Sarah Nelson, who's been a guest on this podcast several times, has written a book along this topic that I want to recommend to you. It's called Footsteps of Hope, Mileposts to Guide Your Journey Through the Grief of Child Loss. Now, the unexpected loss of her daughter and only child, Jeanette, launched Sarah on the unwanted journey into the darkness of grief. Her path to recovery began with recognizing the importance of perspective, the power of positive choices, and finding personalized strategies for those difficult days. She reveals footsteps to guide readers through the dark maze of their own journey, learning to manage the special challenges of holidays, birthdays, death anniversaries, and discovering peace in the middle of the mystery of the unresolved questions. Sarah tells her story with honesty and raw vulnerability as she worked through her emotional, physical, and spiritual complexities of grief. Now, I had the blessing of writing the foreword to Sarah's book. I encourage you to check it out. You can find Footsteps of Hope by Sarah Nelson on Amazon. Now, I'll put a link to that in the show notes. I want to take a few minutes and share something that may feel a little different, but it might also be exactly what your heart has been needing. At GPS Hope, we understand that grief doesn't take a break. It doesn't just pause just because life keeps moving forward. And sometimes what we need most is not just to get through another day, but to totally step away for a moment and simply breathe. And that's why we are inviting you to join us on the GPS Hope and Healing Grief Cruise. Now, this is not just a vacation. It's what we call a seminar at sea. It's a space created especially for those who are carrying deep loss. For a few days, you will have the opportunity to be surrounded by others who understand, people who don't need explanations, people who know what it's like to carry this kind of pain. During our time together, there are gentle opportunities for healing, daily workshops with compassionate presenters. There'll be small circles of hope where you can connect with others who share a similar loss. There are also going to be meaningful moments woven through the experience, like a night of remembrance, times to honor your child and acknowledge their life in a way that feels safe and understood. And something many parents find so meaningful, we share meals together, sitting in a reserved section of the dining room so you're not walking into a room full of strangers, but into a place where you belong. There are times of music, creative expression, quiet connection, along with the beauty of being somewhere different, surrounded by the ocean, tropical places with a space to rest your heart. But I also want to say there's no pressure. You're invited to participate in as much or as little as you feel able. Some moments you may want to join in, other moments you may need to just sit quietly, look out at the water, and let your soul catch up with your heart. Both are okay, because this time is for you. If your heart has been longing for a place where you don't have to explain your grief, where you can be with others who truly understand, and where gentle healing can begin to take root, this may be something to prayerfully consider. While we'll have special sessions just for bereavers, I also want to let you know that this is not just for us, but for anyone who has faced a life-changing, deep loss. So let your friends and family know about it so they can join you and you can all be there together. You can find more information, including dates and details, by going to gpshope.org/cruise. There will also be a link in the show notes. We would truly love to have you experience a GPS Hope and Healing Cruise, and let us walk along beside you in this very unique and special time. Each week on the podcast, we take a moment to speak the names of children whose birthdays fall that week that have been sent in to us. Saying their names matters, and I'm so honored to be able to do this each week. Now, this week, we have only one birthday that was sent in. Leah Van Emmerich was born on May 13th and is forever 39. We celebrate the day that Leah came into this world, which was Mother's Day when she was born. We know it will always be a special day worth celebrating. I hear from parents who say that hearing their child's name on the podcast made them feel less alone on an otherwise heavy day. So if your child's birthday is coming up and you would like me to speak their name here, I would be so honored to do that. Just go to gpshope.org/birthdays, fill out that form, submit it, and we will share your child with the listeners the week of his or her birthday. Dave also will send out an email to remind you to listen that week. I want to leave you with this. Milestones will come and milestones will go. Some will knock you down, some will pass quietly, and some will surprise you with a small glimpse of strength you didn't know you had. Through all of it, you're not alone. And even in the hardest moments, God is still present. He is not afraid of your grief. He's not offended by your questions. He is near, even when he feels far. And little by little, he will help you keep going. Thank you for letting me walk through this with you today. I hope there was something in here that was a help to you. If there was, would you please share it with someone else so they can also receive some hope and support in their journey? Also, if you haven't done so, please just take a minute to give us a rating and a review so that others who are on this unwanted journey will find this podcast and receive the same encouragement that you are. I'll be back next week. Until then, remember to hold on. Pain eases. There is hope.